Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury. And he noticed a poor widow putting in two coins. He said, I truly tell you, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have made all their offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this feast of the presentation of Our Lady into the temple, we base ourselves, as early Christian tradition did, on some of these pseudo-gospels, those written a couple centuries after Revelation had stopped, the pseudo-gospel of St. James, pseudo-gospel of St. Matthew, the pseudo-gospel of the Nativity of Mary, which testify that when she was 3, Saints Joachim and Anne took her to the temple. It was there on the 3rd step that she began to dance. It was there that the priest welcoming her gave a proto-magnificat, saying that all women would call her blessed. And it would be there that she would remain, symbolically remaining in the house of the Lord, showing, again symbolically, that her whole life was committed to the Lord. Today, as we honor her, the readings of sacred scripture give us a commentary on her life and the way each of us is given by God's mercy a chance to imitate what's emulable in her life. Book of Revelation, we see those in heaven. It's one of the most beautiful phrases in all of sacred scripture to describe why they're there. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. 144,000, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles multiplied by 1,000. It's not just supposed to be, as the Jehovah's Witness thinks, 144,000 exactly, not 144,001 or 143,999, but more or less the population of my hometown growing on up is all who are going to make it. The rest of us are just straws for the fires of hell. No. It's an infinite number in a sense. Finite. Sorry, that didn't come out the right way. It's a big number of individuals who follow the Lord wherever he goes. Gives us a couple extra attributes. They have the name of the Lamb and his Father written on their foreheads. The Father's mind, the Lamb's mind, is what their mind seeks. They were playing as if harps, singing what seemed to be a new hymn before the throne that no one could learn except those who had been ransomed from the earth. Because this was a hymn flowing from their life that could only be learned by those who would be all in and follow the Lamb wherever he went, follow the Lamb in praise toward God, follow the Lamb crossing the road in order to be able to care for those in need of mercy, follow the Lamb even into agony and into martyrdom. There were certain tunes that we can only learn from within. They can't be taught to people on the outside, because the tuning of the instrument by which that hymn is able to be sung happens only through these experiences of union with the Lord. Blessed Mother, it was obviously someone who followed the Lamb, followed God, wherever God was leading. Let it be done to me according to your word. She is one who had her soul washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of her Son, and she had received that gift preveniently through God's eternity, 47 years before that blood would be shed on Calvary. She was the one whose heart was always singing a Magnificat. We try to tune our life to hers, but we recognize that no matter how many times we sing that hymn in Vespers or in other services, that it's still far deeper than we can penetrate. But we're seeking to learn it. But the way that we're going to learn it is the same path Mary did, by total commitment to the Lord, to follow him wherever he leads. Today's gospel, we see another beautiful commentary. Jesus, as we've been hearing over these last few days, was preaching in the temple area. But then, having finished the preaching, he began to people watch. In that temple area, there were the collection baskets. Joseph explained before, were like upside down tubas, big funnels up at the top that would spin down into a secure box. And the rich would come, and the only currency in the ancient day were coins. And so the rich would come and they'd put some big and many big coins at the top of the funnel, and they'd make a huge racket as it would go down. And then this widow came, and she put in, St. Luke tells us, 2 lepta, thin, tiny little coins that would make a penny today look huge. They probably barely made a peep as they rolled down into the box. But then Jesus said something, swearing an oath, he told us, this poor widow has put in more than all the rest. Why? Because the others have given from their surplus what they didn't need. This woman from her poverty has offered all she had to live on. She gave it every, she gave all. She was willing to follow the Lord totally with her 2 lepta, each worth a third of a penny in today's currency. She was totally into the Lord. What she was able to do here was to recognize that the continuation of the gospel, even with 2/3 of a penny, was more valuable than her own life. She was also able to do it because she was trusting in the Lord, that the Lord would provide, that if he takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the sky, he would take care of her. That she didn't have to worry about what she was to eat or drink, where she would sleep, or what she would wear, because she believed, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that God the Father already knew she needed these things. She had probably learned this as a mother of a poor family, constantly turning to the Lord to provide. And when the Lord did, she was giving everything back that she was and had to him in gratitude. This yet again is a sign of the way Our Lady lived her faith. She wasn't just giving part of herself over to the Lord. She wasn't just giving 99%+, holding a couple lepta back for herself, just as insurance, in case the Lord didn't come through. She was the one who totally gave of herself, following God in all his plans until the very end, even when her heart likewise would be pierced. And she shows us, too, how to live out our faith. There are many days, sisters, in which we're going to feel that we have nothing to give. We're spent. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or even the breadcrumbs we have, just don't seem much. It would make this woman in the gospel look like a billionaire. But yet the Lord's asking us on those days to just give what we have, give generously, trustingly, to follow the Lord even with our last lepta, to sing a hymn of praise to Him, even in the midst of our own spiritual poverty, to allow His blood to redeem us fully. Through that self-emptying, we can be filled, to recognize our only lasting treasure is that we have had the name of the Lamb and of the Father written not just on our forehead, but indelibly in our soul, and to just live up in accordance to that identity. On this Feast of the Presentation, we ponder Mary's following the Lord into holiness, into His holy place, that the place of true worship that God wanted to make was not so much a building, but it was a relationship in which God's holiness would come to dwell within us, that Mary's own life, her own heart, was the richest place of worship, because she was able to receive within God's own music, and it would just resonate, that Holy Spirit would breathe through her instrument to make a melody that nobody else could learn until they allowed themselves to receive that same Holy Spirit. Today, the Church celebrates Pro Orandibus Day, literally the day in which we pray for those praying, all those monks and nuns, all those hermits who do nothing but pray for us and pray for the whole world. It's this Feast of the Presentation of Our Lady in which they were consecrated over to the Lord whom they sought to follow, whose face they longed to see. That on this day we remember them, we thank God for them, and we open ourselves up to the fruits of their prayers. Insofar as each of us is called by God to be a contemplative in the middle of the street, to be a contemplative in the middle of the work, we likewise pray that we can learn from Our Lady and from all of those who are following Our Lady and following her Son wherever He leads, so that we too, in the midst of the activity and the actions we need to do, can constantly be giving our denarii, our talents, and our lepta over to the Lord's kingdom, that we can be this witness of someone whose mind and whose words and whose actions have been thoroughly influenced by the mark of the Lamb and of the Father, who didn't spare Him but gave Him over for us all. We are the ones who sparkle a little bit, not that we have never been blemished, not that we've never sullied our habits, but that they've been washed in the most powerful detergent of all time, Christ's own blood. We are the ones who show the world what those in the oases of monastic life are able to communicate. That there's a hymn that will never appear on the billboard charts, that will be sung forever, and that we're already learning that hymn because we're longing to see the Lord's face. Today, as we come forward at this Mass, we're not going to be placed on the third step, but interiorly following Our Lady, we're called in spiritual childhood to be dancing with the Lord's own love and glory. We're about to receive within the blood that blanches and redeems from every blemish. We're about to receive what we long for. As the Lord gives us this great richness, we show up with our one lepta, or two, or more, and give our logike latreia, give ourselves totally like this widow, so that Jesus will be able to pull the apostles astride, the saints, everyone in the 144,000, including some of those we've already known. We pray, Cardinal O'Connor, to note our generosity as we continue to follow Our Lady all the way until we have a chance to sing with her forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.